It's time for Wildcat News, a look at what's going on in the Humboldt Community Schools, brought to you by Northwest Bank.
All right, let's talk about your new position with the schools, and I guess tell us what your new position is, and tell us about a typical day for you.
Yes. Well, so the past 5 years, I've been the middle school assistant principal and the special ed director for Humboldt. This year, I get to focus on the special education side of it, and I'm the special ed director and intervention specialist for Humboldt, which includes St. Mary's School and also Twin Rivers. So I picked up Twin Rivers with this new position, and all of them have been great. I kind of get a look at that 20,000 foot view of how special ed is going in both the districts, and then provide some guidance, some professional development, and oversight on how to make things to have better services and supports for our administrators, teachers, paraprofessionals, and obviously the students as well. So a typical day for me would kind of look like communicating, visiting the different schools, going into classrooms, working with admin, also working with the different needs that we've already talked about from the different levels and different schools. Work with our AEA, so our Area Education Agency, to keep aware of anything that they're kind of seeing going on in the schools as well, as I can't quite be in six places at once. Mm-hmm. So it's good to have great communication with them and working with them, working on different interventions and documents of what the students need, where we're at, how we can help the students better along with the teachers. Then learning some new practices, policies, and seeing how our current needs, our current reality needs to change to match up to some of those practices. And a lot of those are coming from the state and some of those different shifts that are happening at the state level.
Mm-hmm. Share with us the importance of this position.
Yeah, it is. It's very important, at least in my opinion, but you know, I have a pretty strong dog in this fight. Do mm-hmm. I dare say that?
Mm-hmm.
So kind of from there, you know, you definitely want to have, using some sports terminologies, a good offense and defense when you're looking at things. So kind of that offensive side as kind of looking at the importance of the policies and practices, what's going on and how we need to change so we can kind of keep out of trouble or anything like that. Also, some of the other things would be details of how special education really works, and kind of knowing special ed financing, that's part of some of my big projects as well that I get to oversee, and that's how we go ahead and get our funding through a special account, and then some Medicaid reimbursement as well. And really working to see the equitable side of things for teachers, and the licensing, making sure the license is correct. That's kind of on the defensive side too. But then on that defensive side moving forward, doing checks on compliance in key areas and watch fors that the state's kind of giving us and saying, hey, you know what? We're seeing lots of issues or violations in X, Y, or Z. A couple of those things so far this year that they've talked about is making sure that our IEP meetings are held on time and then also submitted on time. So I get to go through and look at a lot of spreadsheets and see when IEPs are due. Those are individualized education plans. And those are due every year. So there's a meeting that has to occur every year, and we got to make sure that those are done on time to meet the state and federal regulations. And then helping people with, it's called Achieve. It's the new IEP system. And there's some bugs with the system that we have to try to work through. And I get to be one of those people to help on that tech side as well. that.
This is Wildcat News. We're talking with Creighton Jettis. He is the special ed and para-coordinator.
Yes.
Let's talk about some of the big projects and oversights. I mean, you were talking about some of the oversights, but what actual projects are you currently working on?
Yes. Well, we just got finished with our special education count, which happens on the last Friday of October. So this year I was lucky enough, we got all the way to the 31st. Some years it's quite a bit earlier. And with those, I've been able to go ahead and look at, make sure that they're the same on our Infinite Campus, which is our student information system, and Achieve, which is the system that all the IEPs are on.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big things with that is really looking to see that we're getting the funds. It's called waiting for the students. So the funds that for the services that the students need. Right. So we're already providing these services for the kiddos. Sometimes they're not 100% written exactly how they've been adjusted. Maybe there's been an amendment from the original meeting. And from there, it actually gets them into a different weighting or a funding category. So I get to reweight all of the IEPs, which is about 175 of them. And to do that now, to talk a little bit finance side of that, you know, we can have a student, it's weighting levels 1, levels 2, and levels 3. And from there, the state gives us about $7,998, so say $8,000 per student. And then special ed, you get extra funds for giving those special services for the kiddos. And if you have like a level 1 kiddo, you get an additional about $5,700. Level 2, $9,900. And level 3 is almost $22,000. So really, if we're looking at those and we're getting people to get higher weightings, that's more funds for the school, which is good because we're providing those services anyway. So we should get compensated for those services. And right now, I think the past 2 years when I've been doing those reweighting, we've had about an average of $80,000 extra a year that we wouldn't be getting if I wouldn't be doing all of the reweighting of the kids. So that's a pretty good chunk of change each year of some funds that we can go ahead and use for the students to help them with their academics, behaviors, and everything like that.
Sure.
So that's one of those. Another big project that's an ongoing one is Medicaid reimbursement. So we have some kids that have some services that we can go ahead and mark eligible for reimbursement through Medicaid programs. And through there, once again, like I was talking about, we're giving these services to the kiddos because they need the services. But if we can get some money back from Medicaid, that's really important because then, you know, you're looking if X amount of money would be over here to pay for this paraprofessional, which is paraprofessional day. So thank you for all of those paras that work there and all the school settings, not just in Humboldt and Twin Rivers, but all over the United States here. And we can use that for different types of funds, or different ways to go ahead and spend that money, then that's a good part as well. And then I'll say probably the last big project that's ongoing that we do is within our professional development with special education. The focus has shifted from compliance to compliance and making sure that the kids are making adequate progress on all of their special ed goals, which, yes, that makes perfect sense, right? Because mm-hmm. that's the whole point of education and learning is to,
right,
is to progress.
Right.
But before, the state has been really, really compliance-based with that shift to the accountability and working with it. I get to go through, and you're going to love this, within our within those six buildings, we have about 375 special education goals that we're monitoring. We're giving specially designed instruction to with our special education staff. And with those, I get to go through every month and look at every single goal, mark down kind of how the kiddos are doing, and then see if there's any changes that need to happen. So that compliance side, and then look at their projected, it's called an aim line, how they're going to do by the end of the year to see if they're going to meet their goal or go ahead and make adequate progress. And what we really want them to do is make that advanced progress. So if we have that, then they're getting closer to where they should be at. And that's the ultimate goal, is to give the kids the help that they need to make sure that they don't need that help later on.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, it sounds like a very time-consuming position, but very rewarding.
Yes, for sure.
I mean, I'm sure it's not an 8-to-5 kind of job for you.
No, it's also very nice that we were able to go ahead and get this into a full-time position, because before that, we were not able. I mean, it was, you know, you say the 8-to-5, it was more like a 7 to 5:30, and then I was like, okay, I gotta get home to spend time with my family, and now it's a little bit more of a one position, instead of two. So I really enjoy that and love that, and I'm really happy that the school districts were able to make this happen.
Well, we thank you for your position and coordinating everything. Again, it always amazes me on how much goes into an educational position. So thank you for doing that, and good luck to you.
Okay. Thank you too. And I think I have one more thing, just as a reminder that we are getting out 2 hours early out today instead of the 1 hour early out. So that's just a reminder for all the caregivers out there that you get an extra hour with your little bundles of joy once they are done with school. So
very good.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Creighton Janis has been our guest on Wildcat News this morning, brought to you by Northwest Bank.